for Wednesday, September 29th. It's the early word from the WNYC newsroom. Hello, I'm Lance Lucky, in for Isaac Davey Aronson, with a look at this morning's top news stories, the day ahead, and reporting highlights from the WNYC news team. Coming up, Matthew Sherman tells us that the 10-year plan to complete the massive Atlantic Yards project in Brooklyn turns out to be a pipe dream. And Ilya Marritz reports on a bill that would make paid sick leave the law in the city. We'll start with the morning's top headlines just ahead.
The Early Word is a production of WNYC Radio. You can support this podcast by making a donation at WNYC.org, where you can also get the latest updates on this morning's headlines on the news page.
A counterterrorism official says some missile strikes and the recent surge of attacks by unmanned U.S. drones in Pakistan were aimed at disrupting suspected terrorist plots aimed at Europe. In Paris, the Eiffel Tower was briefly evacuated yesterday evening because of a threat, but the overall threat level in Britain and France remains unchanged after intelligence officials intercepted what they're calling a credible terror plot. A British official says the plots were in an early stage. Rick Lazio, who recently dropped out of the race to be New York's next governor, had harsh words for Carl Paladino, the man who beat him in the Republican primary. In an unexpected call to WNYC's Brian Lehrer Show Tuesday, Lazio sharply criticized the racially insensitive and sexually explicit emails that Paladino forwarded to friends and colleagues.
The emails are completely offensive, unacceptable, have never been part of the party that I belong to or associated with, and I believe the Republican Party has a lot of soul-searching to do.
Lazio announced he will not run on the conservative party line, saying he did not want to hand an easy victory to Democrat Andrew Cuomo, who has not weighed in on the emails. He says that's up to voters. Meanwhile, out on the campaign trail, Cuomo ventured into opponent Carl Paladino's home turf, Buffalo, to release his plan for reviving the economy of upstate New York. Cuomo's plan includes reducing taxes for startups, offering tax credits for new businesses that hire the unemployed, and creating 10 regional economic development councils to distribute state funding. Paladino, who's a developer, dismissed the plan, saying Cuomo has never created any jobs. The city's public advocate, Bill de Blasio, says the City Department of Education and the Police Department share responsibility with the City Board of Elections for widespread voting problems on primary day. De Blasio says only some of the problems were clearly mistakes by the Board of Elections, like poor training of many poll workers.
Some problems were the fault of the Department of Education in the sense that custodians didn't do what they should have done to have the site ready or to have it unlocked on time.
De Blasio and other city officials will be testifying before the State Senate Elections Committee today to offer ways the Board of Elections can better coordinate with other city agencies for the November election. The committee will also be looking into other primary day problems, including missing and malfunctioning equipment, ballot privacy, and poll worker training. Mayor Bloomberg announced plans to help stop raw sewage from pouring into the city's waterways. The mayor says the city will invest $5 billion into green infrastructure to create different ways to absorb and divert excess stormwater. Eric Goldstein from the Natural Resources Defense Council supports the plan.
New Yorkers are rightfully calling for clean waters in which to fish, swim, boat, recreate. And at the same time, we need to be assured that every dollar that we pay in water rates is wisely spent.
Among the proposed solutions, placing mechanical devices or vegetation on rooftops to prevent rainwater from draining too quickly and overwhelming storm sewers. Taking a look at today's calendar, the first civilian trial of a Guantanamo detainee begins with jury selection in Manhattan federal court. Ahmad Galani is accused of conspiring to blow up two American embassies in East Africa in 1998. President Obama concludes his campaign-style swing to energize Democratic voters to turn out on Election Day. He begins the day in Des Moines, Iowa, then travels to Richmond, Virginia, before returning to Washington this evening. The House Financial Services Committee holds a hearing on the future of housing finance. AIDS activists hold a noontime demonstration in Washington to demand that the Obama administration and Congress fully fund the AIDS Drug Assistance Program. And Obama administration officials announced the 12 winning teams of the Apps for Healthy Kids competition, launched by First Lady Michelle Obama earlier this year. Just some of what's happening this Wednesday. Developer Bruce Ratner says it's going to take more than 10 years to complete the Atlantic Yards complex in Brooklyn. As WNYC's Matthew Sherman reports, that means the public will have to wait longer for the affordable housing that Ratner promised.
Ratner made his comments after showing reporters images of a plaza that would be built in front of the basketball arena at Atlantic and Flatbush Avenues in Brooklyn. He said the arena and the first mixed-income apartment tower would go up within 2 years, but construction of the other 15 buildings would depend on the economy. More surprisingly, he said the project was always intended to be market-dependent, and the company used a 10-year timeline only for the purposes of an environmental analysis. But even last September, his spokesman stood by the 10-year build-out in an email. Opponents say Ratner's admission proves yet again the project was oversold to the public. They say the delays will create parking lots and urban blight in a neighborhood that would have come back on its own. For WNYC, I'm Matthew Sherman.
You can see images of the plaza. Just go to WNYC.org. A debate has reignited over whether New York City businesses should be required to pay employees for sick leave, with two new studies offering sharply differing views on the question. WNYC's Ilya Meritz reports there's growing pressure on lawmakers to act on a bill that would make paid sick leave the law in the five boroughs.
On one thing, all parties agree.
We certainly don't think that sick people should be in the workplace.
That's Kathy Wild, president and CEO of the Partnership for New York City, a business group. The question is, should businesses pay workers to stay home? A bill before the city council would force employers to give their staff up to 9 days a year, fully paid, to stay home and recuperate if they get ill. The measure has garnered a lot of support since last year's H1N1 flu outbreak. But on Tuesday, Wild's group put out a study estimating paid sick leave could cost city businesses almost $800 million a year, with restaurants, nonprofits, and construction companies hit especially hard.
The increase in their cost is like another tax.
But on the same day, a liberal-oriented think tank took aim at the partnership's numbers with its own study of what happened in a city that actually adopted paid sick leave. Dan Morris is with the Drum Major Institute.
The experience in San Francisco has shown us that this is a policy that is not going to prevent job growth.
After San Francisco required paid sick leave in 2007, the city actually lost jobs. But there was a recession, and the city lost fewer jobs in percentage terms than surrounding counties without paid sick leave. Morris says that suggests businesses should have nothing to fear from this. Asked about paid sick leave on Tuesday, Mayor Bloomberg wasn't buying it.
One of the things that we're worried about in this city is creating jobs, and anything that is slowing down job creation in the city is just, this is not a good time for it.
The question now is whether the bill will reach the mayor's desk. City Council Speaker Christine Quinn said she wanted to see the figures from the business community before allowing a vote in the council. Now, her office says, she's examining the data. For WNYC, I'm Ilya Meritz.
And finally, the MacArthur Fellowships have been announced, commonly known as Genius Grants. The recipients include a physics teacher, a Native American linguist, a bee researcher, and an off-Broadway theater director named David Cromer. He won awards for his small, long-running Greenwich Village production of Thornton Wilder's Our Town. He told the MacArthur Foundation that he finds it satisfying trying to take artificial moments and make them seem like they're really happening.
I was directing Romeo and Juliet, and someone very nicely said, oh, I'm excited to see what you do with it. And I thought a lot about that, and I thought, well, I'm not going to do anything with it. It's going to do something with me. You just have to listen to the play, and it's going to tell you what it wants to be. It doesn't really have anything to do with any of its past productions.
Theater director David Cromer, one of two New Yorkers among the 23 winners of this year's MacArthur Genius Grants. Let's wrap it up with the Gig Alert, which today comes from the West African country of Mali. Although virtually unknown abroad, Kyra Arby has been performing this high-energy trance music for 20 years. She's known in Mali as the Nightingale of the North. Now Arby's on her first ever U.S. tour, and you can catch her tonight at Joe's Pub. And download this track from our culture page. Just click culture at WNYC.org. You can learn more about the stories you heard here, download more podcasts and go in depth with our reporters on the news blog. That's all at our website, WNYC.org. You can hear us there 24 hours a day, as well as on the air at 93.9 FM and AM 820. From the WNYC Newsroom, I'm Lance Lucky. Have a good Wednesday.